team. As you're standing, we want you to know we have Bibles up front, and we'd ask you to get one if you would like to have one. Also, for those that are in fourth and fifth grade and junior high, thank you for being a part of our worship time. Your Sunday school teachers are in back. We're blessed by them. As we're standing right now together as a fellowship, we'd like to look in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at the first nine verses. It tells us in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1, "And seeing the multitude, Jesus went up on a mountain, and he came and he sat with his disciples. They came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Father, we are grateful for your word. We believe your word is the word of God. It is for us today. It is living. And God, you are able to accomplish everything you desire to accomplish in our lives. Father, my prayer is that myself and each of us, we'd be willing to hear your word and receive it gladly. And in the beginning, Lord, of this study, we purpose that in the ways that you may speak to us or minister to us or want to lead us, I pray that all of us would have a cooperative heart towards your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we're looking here at the Beatitudes and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, I was thinking back. I used to have a number of VWs. My first one was about a 69 VW Bug. After that, I downgraded to a 1963 VW van. Remember, this was in the 70s, right? So I had a custom paint job and tapestry curtains around the glass windows. It'd be worth a lot today. And it looked good. And in the front, you know, you have that VW logo, that chrome one in the front. I took that off, and I created out of wood. You would like this, Sean. It was the Peace logo, and I put it where the VW logo is supposed to be on the front of my car, and I thought I was so cool because I had now a Peace van. But I can tell you for certain right now that I had no peace in my life. I just had the symbol. And when we're looking here today, I think there's some great encouragement that we're going to be able to receive from the Lord. As you know, this is our seventh study in the Beatitudes. We're taking each one of the blessed R's and looking at them each week. And we've come to realize that each one is important for the next one to happen. For example, when we look this morning and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, the prerequisite for that is the verse before, which is blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I can't be a peacemaker unless, first of all, there's purity in my heart. And what we've seen is that there's a real sequence that we have to be poor in spirit, broken over our sin, and we begin to mourn over our sin. And as we mourn over our sin, we'll be able to have a sense of meekness or humbleness in our life. After that, God stirs our heart for a hunger and thirst for his righteousness. And as we receive his good word for our lives, we also receive his mercy. And as his mercy comes into our life, it changes us and causes us to have a pure heart. And with that, we begin to see that God is asking us to be peacemakers. Now, these Beatitudes, again, a reminder, it's really what a Christian looks like. When we look at these seven Beatitudes and we begin to study them, they should begin to resemble what a Christian looks like, our birthmark. But listen, never underestimate the challenge of each one of these. I have never been so challenged in my Christian life as I am right now, as I look at each one of these Beatitudes and realize, wow, Lord, you have so much more work to do in my life. I was thinking for just a moment, because when we again examine this, and we're going to look at this, blessed are the peacemakers. You have to have peace before you can be a peacemaker. And I wanted to look realistically at a few things. First of all, it needs to start with me. I have to have peace in my life. If I have peace in my life, I can have peace in my family. If I can have peace in my family, I can bring peace to the fellowship. If we can have peace in our fellowship, we can bring peace to our community. If we can have peace in our community, we can bring peace to our nation. If we have peace in the nation, there's a possibility of having peace in the world. But again, it brings it right back to a very personal desire of my heart. I believe that God has called each one of us as His believers to be ambassadors of peace. I say that because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, it says, "Now all things are of God, listen, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, stay with me, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we want to have peace with God so we can experience the peace of God. I cannot have the peace of God if I do not first have peace with God. So I want to be reconciled in this relationship with God. And when I am, I have peace with God. And when I have peace with God, I can experience the peace of God in my life and in these relationships. Thank you for many of you were praying for my wife and I. Some dear friends of ours, their dad passed away. And his name is Dave Hubbard. Dave Hubbard used to come and lead worship for us in the early years on Sunday morning. We didn't have Sean back then, and so we had to rotate in different worship leaders. And he became a friend, and actually at my daughter's wedding, Scott, at your wedding as well, you married my daughter. I noticed she's not here today. She's sick. It's not the ministry of reconciliation. She's just sick. But Dave played at that wedding. It was a great blessing, and I was able to officiate his daughter's wedding. And he was helping his son out here a few weeks ago in Bellingham, and kind of had a cough and wasn't feeling well. Went home to the Seattle area. It progressed to pneumonia and to death, and he died that suddenly. The last experience, because when he went in the hospital, he wasn't able to communicate at all. So the last experience his son had with him was dad helping him on the house, and we were savoring that experience together as he was sharing that with me. As his son and daughter called me on the phone to let me know what happened and asked me if I could help them with the memorial service, which we gladly, of course, would be there. I said, I have three questions to ask you. And this was on the phone right after. And I said, are you certain that your dad had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I know what the answer was, but I wanted to hear it from them. And they said, oh, yes, Pastor, absolutely. My dad, he loved Jesus. And I says, the second question is this. Did your dad love you? Almost simultaneously, yes, 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 Dad, He loved us so much. As a matter of fact, at the memorial service, I got to learn how much, because both of them together, amazingly, by the strength of God, in a tandem way, expressed back and forth from up front. There was 350 people there yesterday. How much their dad loved them. I said, I have one more question. I know your dad is with Jesus, and you know that too. So we've got heaven taken care of. There's the peace with God and the peace of God. And we need the peace of God this morning or when we're talking on the phone. The fact that he loved you is great, but was he proud of you? And again, almost simultaneously expressing and enumerating the different ways that their dad demonstrated the fact that he was proud of them. That helps out a lot. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. When we have peace with God and we experience the peace of God, we can then have peace with one another. Now, I did some research because I began to think deeper about this subject, and I'm thinking about human history. I believe human history began with Adam and Eve, and it's to where it is today. I don't know when it began with Adam and Eve. No one has given us that date. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? We don't have, you know, an exact number. Obviously, we know today's date, but and of all of human history, I began to think and dwell on this idea of peace and how hard it is, because it's rather elusive right now. It's very difficult to understand this kind of peace, because what I'm speaking about is peace in the world. You see, just over, 100 years or so, we've had two major world wars. In the First World War, the number of U.S. troops that served in World War I was 4,700,000. There were 8 million U.S. military deaths, or actually 8 million total military deaths from all countries in World War I. In World War II, we didn't have 4 million. We had 16 million U.S. troops. The total casualty, military and civilian, in World War II was 73 million. I began to think about that number, because then I thought about our friends in the nation Israel. Because during that time, 6 million or more Jewish men and women and boys and girls were killed during that time. And I began to think a little bit more, because we're speaking about peace. Jerusalem means city of peace. I believe it's the eternal city. I believe there's a real connection, my friends, between today and our future regarding Israel. But I was wondering, if there was 6.5 million killed during this time period, how many were actually living at that time? In Europe, there was about 9.5 million Jews. So after the war, there was only in Europe 3.8 million. That's how destructive it is. When you start to look at the numbers, you begin to look at that and you would think, why would anybody be against Israel today in a way of showing hostility and not peace? Interesting enough that just in these last 61 years of them coming back finally after 2,000 years and becoming a nation, they have Nobel Peace Prizes in medicine, chemistry, economics, physics, and literature. They've done significant research in the DNA area and other medical studies as well. Microsoft has their only research and development facility outside the United States in Israel. They actually developed in Israel the Microsoft Windows operating system. Pentium microprocessor was developed in Israel. Voice message developed in Israel. Aircraft security system developed in Israel. The highest number of university degrees of workers per capita, Israel. I mean, listen, there's a reason. God's blessing is there. We're looking at peace right now. I'm saying, wow, in just the last 100 years, there isn't the kind of peace you'd hope. It's difficult because it weighs upon us. I was looking a little bit further. It took two nuclear weapons over Japan to end World War II. One of them, around 166,000 people died. The other one, around 80,000 people died. Two nuclear weapons. Right now, my friends, right now, in the world today, there are 14,900 nuclear weapons. Some of them, at least according to my research, have 3,000 times the explosive power as those that were dropped in Japan. Just the United States and Russia could destroy the earth many times over today with its firepower. They're just facts of where we're at. Right now, today, on the negotiating table regarding North Korea, I've heard a term out there. All options are on the table. When the leading people of our nation speaking about all options are on the table, you know what that means as far as all options on the table. It means a nuclear reference, more than likely. I'm just saying, where's the world peace? And then I break it down from there, and I'm thinking, well, I wish our nation could be safe, and they're trying to do what they can. But this is, Jesus says, in the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But what about in the homes? Actually, domestic violence is a leading cause of death for women ages 15 to 44. Domestic violence, it includes physical violence, sexual violence, psychological violence, emotional abuse. During the Afghanistan and Iraq war from 2001 to 2012, 6,488 soldiers were killed, troops were killed. In that same time period, 11,766 American women were killed because of domestic violence. It's a problem. We talk about the issue of bullying, which really has come up. And what is that? They say that the most common form between boys and girls is verbal. I'm speaking about peace. I'm saying blessed are the peacemakers. I'm saying that we as believers are challenged by the Beatitudes to be peacemakers. And we've got so much of an opportunity to demonstrate peace in the world, in our home, in the schools. I was wondering, what are some of the reasons listed for bullying? And it says people can direct frustrations, hurt and anger and difficulty at home or in class by bullying. It's a lack of attention, maybe from friends, parents, teachers. It can make a person bully you just to feel popular, perhaps, is a reason. Maybe seen as tough or cool or in charge. It's a real problem. Blessed are the peacemakers. Remember, I said when we go through these Beatitudes, they challenge us. We can just go through them and say, it's a great sermon, and I feel good. But God, you want to do a work in my life. I was looking at the World Health Organization. They estimate in the world there's 125,000 abortions a day. In the world, 40% of all women will end their pregnancy by an abortion. So we're looking at the world and wondering, where's the peace? We're looking in our home and wondering, where's the peace? And one of the safest places in the world can be a brutal place. And Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. And I say, God, there's so much I have to learn. There's so much I want to do. There's so much change, Lord, you want to take place in my life. I go back and say, God, it's how can this take place? How can I be this? How can we be peacemakers? He goes, you need peace with me. Peace with God. You need to experience the peace of God. How do I do that? He says, go back and be poor in spirit. Be bankrupt spiritually. Realize you cannot do it on your own. There's no way you can do it by yourself. We need God. We need the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives today, more than ever before. John F. Kennedy in his 1960, it was at the Democratic Convention, and he's given an address and he says, we are not here to curse the darkness, but to light the candle that can guide us through the darkness to a safe and sane future. And then he quotes Winston Churchill, who spoke 20 years before that. And he said this, if we open a quarrel between the present and the past, we shall be in danger of losing the future. We need to look at this. The first thing I need to say is, God, there's a problem. Think of a saying that many of us have heard before. It goes like this, Houston, we've got a problem. And that had to do with the Apollo 13 and the possibility of that aircraft never coming back. That's how big the problem was. The extent of that problem was communicated by, we have a problem. But that's how severe it was. I need to say, God, I have a problem. Isaiah 26:3 says, he's praying, you will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. We're living in a day that the things that you and I believe about the Bible and about the Lord, believe me, you are in a very, very unique situation in life. Very unique right now. People today are promoting a God without wrath, who brings people without sin, to a kingdom without judgment, to a Christ without a cross. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus Christ wants to make peace with us. He wants us to experience that. So the first thing I must do, and perhaps each of us must do, is to say, God, I want to be a peacemaker. But to be a peacemaker, I must admit honestly and real that there's a problem. There is a problem because you're not feeling the peace. You're worked up. There's things that concern you. You're overwhelmed by things in your life. You're bothered. I'm speaking for myself. This is God. He goes, well, there's a problem. And you know what? I want to avoid the problem. I just want to push the problem out of the way. I want to move away from the problem. I don't want to be around the problem. So the first thing is to admit there's a problem. And the second thing is this. Avoiding conflict. That's tricky. Just don't avoid conflict. Wow. That's easy for you to say. Well, let's stay with me here. This world is in major rebellion from God, and Jesus says, I'm going to enter into the conflict. Jesus left heaven to enter into the conflict on earth so we can have peace with God. That's how it works. Now, there is some conflict that I do avoid. Like, for example, if my wife, you know, ladies, you know, she's like, go on. In other words, I'm safe at the moment, but there could be a future conflict later on. That's why we have two cars. Just kidding. But You know, sometimes women, you may lay out a couple outfits on the bed, and then you try them on. And then the question is, what do you think? How do I look? Like, that's a tough one. It's never looked so good on you. But I feel a little, oh, it still looks good. Do you want to try the other one on there? Does that mean you don't like it? No, I didn't say it. I said, oh, it looks good. See, there's just some conflicts you like to avoid. Women, I'm going to tell you something, but you already know this, okay? The reason in a marriage and in relationships that we have a hard time, men with women, is because as a man, I typically want to avoid the conflict. And not just about the dress. Just generally speaking, it's strange. Because in the workplace, you can be, as a guy, involved in all kinds. But when you come home, it's just like, I want a conflict-free zone right now. And then, as a wife, you've been dealing with all kinds of things. And it's just like, finally, he's home. Finally, we can... So... Men, that doesn't mean we're off the hook. It just means that we have to go back and say, blessed are the poor in spirit, babe. Your man is bankrupt. But we can't avoid it. So guys, let me give you another illustration that'll help out, because we need a little motivation maybe. The whole idea is that we'd have greater peace, right, in our life, in my life, in our family, in our relationship. That's the goal. And not hinder God from pouring forth his peace. So men, when you have discovered that there's just a teeny, teeny little leak going on somewhere in the house, teeny, just ever so often and ever so occasionally, there's some drip going on somewhere. And I know you want to move at that point. It's like, that's what we'll do. That's all. But if you ignore that for days and weeks and months, you might as well remodel half your house, okay? Because it'll destroy it. Just that little bit that we walked away from creates great destruction. What I'm saying, men, women, believers, is that we have to enter into the conflict. We have to. It's not going to go away. If we want that peace of God, we have to enter in. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. A verse that has helped me, you might write this down or remember it some way. This next verse has helped me a lot. It comes from Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. It says, if it is possible, as much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. We want peace. We realize there's a problem. We've got to not flee from the problem. We have to begin to enter into this problem. And depending upon how two people or more are going to cooperate is going to determine whether or not there's going to be any peace at all. Listen now, this is where you might get really frustrated and mad and angry and argumentative because others aren't moving in the direction you want them to move in, or cooperating, or whatever else like that. So the Lord says, you're responsible as much as it depends upon you. Live peaceably. So there's a personal responsibility, but he's not asking us to navigate the entire situation of everything. So much of it has to go back to him. Say, God, I'm trusting you in this. I want your peace, Lord. Okay, let's look at a few other things. What can help? Okay, not having loose lips. If you're looking to have peace, be careful. James says, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Psalms 55:21 says, the words of his mouth were smooth, smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were soft, soft like oil, yet they were drawn swords. Be careful. Choose your words wisely. You know, once they're out there, then you can do even greater damage. You can't reel it back in once it's been said. There's some real wisdom there. Listen to this verse, and I'm going to ask you where you think this verse might be. We're talking about peace. Isaiah 2:4 says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Isaiah 2:4. This is outside of the UN building. What? Yeah, the scripture. Speaking about peace. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. We would pray that this organization would understand the peace of God. We would pray they'd understand the significance of Israel and others. I don't really see God using the UN to bring about world peace. He's using the believers, the church, and the work of Jesus Christ. Please remember another point is a peacemaker is somebody that's committed to a process. It is not an event. The real root problems go all the way back, not to your parents and not to their parents. It goes back to the garden. That's where it all started. That's how many generations are steeped up for us. But God is seeking to have peace. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter 3:11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Romans 14:9, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one can build up another. Remember when Jesus was born, the heavens were open. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all people. Now, where do we begin? Baseball season has started. A long time ago, I used to be an umpire for the semi-pro leagues in Southern California. I could do it. 3-2. But to start the game, play ball! You know, you change that voice. Batter up. Batter up. And the guy gets in the box. He wants to call timeout, do all of his little routine, knock it off in the batter's box. I think that the Lord is saying to us right now, play ball. Let's get in the batter's box. Quit doing all the adjusting. Just get in the batter's box. We've got to take one step. Remember, it's a process. So all that I'm speaking about is between now and when you do my memorial, okay? It's a journey. That's how long it is. That's what we're looking at. It's a journey. This journey involves personally participating, getting in the game. It takes initiation. You have to take a step to move forward. Well, I'm not sure what step I should take. Perhaps this may answer it. What is the one thing that I could do to lessen the tension of the situation? What is, remember, as much as it depends upon me, right? I didn't say what is the one thing they could do. What is the one thing I could do, because it depends upon me. What is the one thing I can do that can lessen the tension in the situation? That's probably my next step to take. Just a step. Remember, it's a journey. It's not going to be all taken care of. Again, it's going to last. All these things. And you'll work through some things, and then there's new things. Everything that we're looking at in the Beatitudes is not a quick read and then on to something else. Those are continually working in our lives. These are the birthmarks of believers. Somebody that is having the peace of God, with God, sharing the peace of God, being a peacemaker, being involved. For they shall be called sons of God. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, it was very intense. Don't know if you knew that President Kennedy's brother, Robert, was the Attorney General at that time. As a matter of fact, I saw Robert Kennedy the night that he was assassinated. He came down our street in the community that I lived in L.A., and then he was shot and killed that night. I saw him in the motorcade as close as I see you right now. So this has an impact. But the president was with his brother, and on the Cuban Missile Crisis, you're looking at something that could devastate our nation and create World War III, or we're finished with everything. And in his memoirs, he writes this. Kennedy writes, "If anybody is around to write after this, let them know that we gave our adversary room to move." They're dealing with Russia. "We gave our adversary room to move." I think there's some good insight. You know, when we're dealing with this, with conflicts, you got to give some room to move. You understand, in a practical way? And then this was something very interesting. After it was all said and done, and thankfully the outcome, he made it really clear as a president, "I want all members of Congress and all the decision-making people, all of us, no one makes any statement to claim any kind of victory." Nothing. There's a real wisdom in that. What are we looking at today, my friends? We want the peace of God. God, there's a problem. I've ignored the problem. I've got to enter into this conflict, and I need your help in this. But you don't understand. You don't understand what's been done to me. So are you going to use that as a reason not to take that next step forward? I have to trust the Lord through all the wrongs that were done to me. Because I'm supposed to look to Jesus. He entrusted all of his injustice to God. He entrusted himself completely to God. He did not vindicate himself. He let God do that. That's a heavy call. It's not the natural thing to do. But we're speaking about something supernatural, aren't we? We're speaking about this morning as men and women that we want to be different. We want to be men and women that are making a difference in our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our workplace, in our communities. We should be different. We're the ones that God said, "You are my ambassadors. You speak for me," the Lord would say. "You live for me. You don't react. You respond. How do I do that? And I appreciate the prayer at the end of the worship time, because we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. We need His power and His strength. As a matter of fact, when Dave's young daughter in the memorial service yesterday was going to play a tribute to her dad, and he is a very accomplished piano player, I have some of his CDs. And he's accomplished because I'm not a musician, you know that. But when I listen to him play, I'm hearing all kinds of different notes and music all at one time. It's like, how do you even do that? She was going to play one of the songs he wrote, instrumental. It'd probably be about 6 minutes in length. And on Friday night when we were meeting and we were right in that church, she goes, I cannot do that. I can't. There's no way. And I said to her, my wife with me, I said, I understand completely. Just to even want to speak at your dad's memorial is enough, and to play a tribute, I understand completely. But I want you to know it's in your heart to do that. And I want you to know this right now. Tomorrow, not in the morning, not at 10:30 when it starts, but when it's your time to play, God will visit you with a strength you've never known. Now, that was pretty bold on my part on Friday night. She says, well, what if he doesn't? I says, then I'm a false prophet. It was such a blessing. She played so beautifully. As a matter of fact, when she was finished and was coming off the platform, which had several steps up. It was a large facility, as I said. She needed help down because she had given everything. And just to come down and to sit, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. What I'm saying is this. When we look at life, when we look at our situations, we look at problems, look at difficulties, look that God has called us to be His peacemakers, because we belong to Him. And we look at what's staring us in the face and just say, I can't. And God says, I've got it for you. I want to help you. I've got it. First thing, just acknowledge that there is a problem, that you need help. I'm going to show you how to enter into it. I'm going to show you how to take that next step. He will let you know. He'll let me know. We will never, ever regret moving forward with Him so that we'll experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And that's what guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's stand for the closing prayer. Father, we are grateful and we thank You for Your word. And Lord, to really think about the challenge that all of us have. Yet, Lord, to also think about the blessing that there's not one day that we live that God does not want to pour forth the peace of God upon our lives, to experience Him in a way that calms the raging rivers in our lives, that our minds can be tormented day in and day out with unresolved situations. And God, even while they're in that state, You don't want our mind and emotion to be tormented. You want the peace of God. You want us to look at life and to be peacemakers. You want to look at the practical areas that we're involved in relationship-wise and to really bring peace and not hostility, to be different, to really represent the birthmark that we have, Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Thank You for our fellowship, Lord. Draw us closer to You. If you're here today and regarding that first question I asked, would you be certain if you were to die today, if today was your last day, suddenly it was over, Are you ready for heaven? Have you reconciled yourself before God? Have you received the forgiveness of God for your sins through Jesus Christ? You want to make sure you do that. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, how they have offended you. I'm thankful that you took my sins on yourself so that I could be saved. Thank you for being my Savior and my Lord. Also, Lord, as believers, many times we're not following your leadership in our life. God, I pray that we would yield ourselves to any changes or any direction you want to make in our lives that will help us experience the blessedness of being a peacemaker. In Jesus' name, amen.